Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting once again from the Black Diamond Mothership in the middle of the mitten in a beautiful green nutrient field. Craig Russell, look at this field.
And maybe a little covered with snow. Winter is here. They got it way worse up north, but man, winter is welcome to Michigan.
That's okay. I've got the fat bike, the Trek Farley fat bike, ready to shred the gnar. But hey, we are a law show.
That's true.
And we have, folks, this show is going to be bigger than any show we have ever done. We have a ton of law to get to.
Really?
And we have some complaints. I have a complaint.
Okay.
Not from any listener, but okay. I have a complaint.
Sure you do.
And I have some shout outs.
Oh, okay.
But before we get to all that, let me tease the audience from the mothership what we're going to be discussing today.
That sounds like a great idea. Let's run down what's coming up on the
Let
show.
Me ask you a question first.
You ask away.
You think I'm going to talk about cannabis?
Probably.
What are the odds?
Probably 100-1.
You got that right.
Maybe 2-1. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I don't even know how odds work. But
we've got an update on Detroit's medical marijuana zoning ordinance, Proposal B.
Okay.
We got an update on that. We have an update on the city of Alma, Michigan.
Okay.
And what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I have some information, quite a bit of information, that the United States Senate has introduced a number of acts in regards to safe banking in this country for the cannabis industry.
Okay, yep.
So we have a major update on that. And I have a question for you.
I have an answer for you.
There was a bill introduced last spring in Michigan that would increase restrictions on cell phone use while driving.
All right.
The question is, has it passed? Is it going to pass? Question for the audience. We're doing. Don't answer that yet.
I'm not answering yet.
And then my fraternity brother, Townie.
Townie from Traverse City.
Called Townie, yeah, from Traverse City. Brian O'Boyle, one of my dear friends. Okay. I love the O'Boyle family. He's got great kids. I love you, Brian, Townie. He sent me a question. It's brilliant.
Okay.
You see on the news these cars that will be self-automated.
Yeah, autonomous driving.
Autonomous driving.
Yeah.
If you're an individual and you're in one of these vehicles and you have cannabis in your system, legally or otherwise, how does the motor vehicle code and the laws apply to you? Isn't that a great question?
That is a great question.
Great question from Townie.
All right. Did you you were at the Iceman Cometh last weekend. Did you hang out with Townie? Did you see him at all?
No, I didn't see Townie, but I want to give a big shout out.
Huge shout out?
No, massive shout out.
Okay.
To the men and women, the Kiwanis of Kalkaska, all the deputy sheriffs, the deputies in Kalkaska County, in Grand Traverse County. They did such a great job keeping the traffic flowing, keeping us bikers and our families and spectators safe during the Iceman Cometh. For those of you, and I don't want to bore, you know, our 20 listeners, the Iceman is, in my opinion, the granddaddy of all the bike races in the state of Michigan, if not the country.
Right.
Pro racers come from all over the world. Jordan Wakely, did amazing. Kudos out to my buddy Jordan. But I race.
Yeah.
And I started in wave 22. What an amazing job. You start off in Kalkaska and you end up at Timber Ridge.
That's right.
When you get to Timber Ridge, you're literally going through these gates, like these gates you see in the Olympics.
Right.
There's 10 to 15, 20,000 spectators. Bell's Brewery is there. There's food trucks. Great family. I met Chris Daly and his brother,
okay.
The Daly brothers. They have a food business.
No, okay.
Their family owns the Killens Chocolate in Traverse City.
Oh, okay. All right.
Killens Chocolate, Traverse City. Great family. Chris Daly listens to the show. Big shout out to those guys and that family. I always park. You can't park anywhere. There's a school you can park at Timber Ridge in Traverse City.
Right.
They transport you with buses. I always park at a house located right next to Timber Ridge. Drew owns that house.
Okay.
Great guy. I want to thank Drew and his family for opening their doors and accommodating all us bikers so we can park on his property.
Right on. So it sounds like you did you do good?
They added 3 miles of the course, but a big shout out to all my, single speeders, the fat bikers, everybody from mid-Michigan was there. Now, so it was a good race.
Now, without boring a bunch of people about this stuff, but we're talking, it is going to be winter. Snow's coming. Now, granted, it's melting now and stuff, but it's going to be there. How many bike races do you do, or how much mountain biking do you do in the winter?
So, Cody Solis, Cody out of Einstein Bikes, he helps organize with Bell's this amazing winter series that we race, I think, twice at Timber Ridge, one at Crystal Mountain, one other place. Todd up in Marquette has a huge polar race going on up there. I'm signed up for. There's something in Manistee. They're fat biking in the winter has just exploded.
I guess so.
Yeah, so
almost as many as there are during the summer.
Yeah, it's just amazing. So look, I always say, just get out and do. Here's what I want to say too.
What do you want to say?
We have a lot to get to. I'm attorney Todd Levitt. You're Craig Russell, my co-host, producer, everything extraordinaire. We're going to talk a lot of law here coming up in the show. And by the way, we opened the show today with a killer song.
The Clash.
Radio Clash.
Yeah, great song. I'm going to leave it to you.
Yeah, let's just leave it there. But look, here's what I want to say. There was 20, 30,000 people there, 5,000 racers. I finished in the 50. So out of 4,500 racers, I finished 2,000 something.
Okay.
72 out of 140 in my class.
All right.
Not bad.
Right.
I'm in the 50s. Come on.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to say. People are good.
Sure.
No, people at this race, spectators, racers, there were men and women from other continents, other religions, other races. And you want to know something? You know what we're all doing? We're helping each other out.
Yep.
We're enjoying one thing, life together. We're there to support our families, be with our friends. We enjoy doing things that we all understand. People are good. There's a lot of evil in this world. We see it every day.
Agreed.
But you want to know something? I'm not discouraged, Craig. Mm-hmm. When you get together with tens of thousands of people, everyone's getting along. People are generally good, have good souls. You know what's bad? The media, the governments. The governments and certain forms of media will have you believe that the country is so divided that we hate one another. We have to stop listening to that.
Agreed.
We do not hate one another.
Agreed.
I mean, I felt so much joy from men and women from all over the world, every continent, different colors, religions. Doesn't matter. I mean, I left saying, you know what? I'm not listening to the TV anymore. I'm not tuning into anything. I'm not going to buy into the BS that we're that divided of a country. When we're not listening to those voices, we care for one another. We all want the same thing.
It's true. Well, we're all Americans, and we're all good, generally good people. I want to believe the majority of people are good, honest, salt-of-the-earth, hardworking people. And yet, I agree, the media, politicians will have you believe that we are divided and that it's us against them and it's black versus white or whatever.
Because they want ratings and these people financially benefit off.
Yeah.
There's people benefit off dividing,
of course.
Dividing us. And you want to know something, folks? I'm not letting anyone divide us. We're Americans. We're not Republicans. We're not Democrats.
We're Americans.
We're Americans. That's
right.
We're people. And people are so good out there. You know, just like all the men and women taking to the woods to go hunting.
Mm-hmm.
All enjoying. It doesn't matter where you're from, what you're doing. You're all enjoying, as I do, as you do, the same sport. You're out there taking care of one another, looking out for one another.
Yep.
It's when too much government gets in the way. It's when people start spewing this hatred. People are good.
Todd will be taking calls here in a second. What say you, America? No, I'm just saying.
I know.
But you don't usually go off in your soapbox very often like this.
Because I'm looking around this race. I had such a good time. My adrenaline was running. I'm enjoying, you know, the after party, and there's just tens of thousands of people who are waiting for the pros to come in. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking around going, you know, people are good.
Yes.
And look, yes, do people dislike one another for various reasons? Yes. I'm not saying everything's perfect.
No, but people are generally good people.
People look out for one another.
Agreed.
But I'm the media, the governments, all governments, they would have you believe otherwise for their own benefit. And I'm just saying
Agreed.
That's just my opinion.
No, I would
But
agree.
Hey, we are a law show, and I just wanted to get that out. We are a law show. And by the way, was that
your complaint?
No, that was not my complaint.
You have a complaint?
The complaint's coming up.
Okay, we got to get the complaint.
And then we'll go to break?
Sure.
Okay, well, you're the producer.
Yes. Do your complaint, and then we'll go to break.
Okay. I'm in Livonia District Court last week. Okay. 16th District Court.
Okay.
I never go there. I used to practice there for 12 years.
Sure.
Big shout out to Judge McCann. Great, great folks down there. For those of you that know Livonia, I'm on Farmington Road in 5 Mile, where the court's located.
Okay.
And I'm heading south a half a mile to get to 96. To head west towards Ann Arbor, I'm going to pass 275.
Sure.
So I'm turning right under the service drive to get on to 96 to head west from Farmington Road.
Okay.
Where I used to live in that area my whole life. I'm merging onto the highway. The merge is you're getting on the highway. Okay, you know 96 Metro Detroit packed.
Right, sure. There's cars everywhere.
I'm in a truck, a big Silverado truck. I drive a big truck.
Right.
And I'm trying to merge to the left, and there's almost a quarter of a mile for me to merge. And I'm trying to get on because I don't want to get hit by the semi that's coming. Right to my left was a four-door Volvo. Okay?
Okay.
Do I have to say anything else?
Didn't let you in.
I'm trying to speed up to get ahead of this Volvo. What do you think it did?
Sped up to get with you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to keep my eyes on the road. I'm looking over going, okay, should I slow down? It stayed at my speed. I'm trying to speed up again. It kept speeding up. When you merge onto a highway, on that kind of highway, you have to stay up with the speed.
Yeah.
This Volvo would not let me in. So I want you to know I did not lay on my horn because I'm chillaxing. I mean, I'm a biker. I just got out of the Iceman. I had a great human experience. Only to go down to Livonia for a guy in a Volvo. And I'm not knocking Volvo, but if you saw the guy driving this four-door vehicle, he fit the stereotype of someone that would be driving that vehicle that wouldn't let a big truck from mid-Michigan over into the highway. So I just want to say to that guy and that vehicle,
we're all good people. Remember that.
We're all good people.
People are good.
And we're going to break right here on the Todd Levitt Law Show. But I'm just saying, there's people in certain vehicles, they look like they fit in those vehicles.
I understand.
No, I mean, I look like I drive a truck.
I understand.
Okay, this guy looked like the kind of guy that would not let a truck merge onto the highway.
Like he didn't do.
And look, I'm a good person. I love people. But that's you want to know something?
Well, he didn't lay on the
horn.
That
pissed me off.
Okay.
Let's go to break. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting hundreds of thousands of watts strong each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on 98.5 UPS.
And Rock 105 and 95.5, which is Rock, Travis H. Boyd.
Podcasting on iTunes, SoundCloud,
Podbean, also Google Play.
Radio FM.
That's right. All the places.
Speaking of Radio FM, we started the show with The Clash.
That's right.
Came back from break.
With Echo and the Bunny Man.
No. Oh, that was Echo and the Bunny Man.
Yeah, it was Echo and the Bunny Man.
I love that song. That's one of my favorite groups from the 80s. Echo and the Bunny Man.
Yeah.
Gotta love that.
I know.
Remember they sing that song,
Lips like sugar.
Lips like sugar.
Kisses. Yeah.
Doo doo doo. Yeah. I'm just stuck in that English beat punk.
Early 80s
clash. Echo and the Bunny Man. Love it. Hey, here's some information.
Okay.
Alma, Michigan.
Beautiful town.
Beautiful town. South of Mount Pleasant.
Right.
Had a meeting last week.
Okay.
It looks as if they're going to opt in to the Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act.
Good for them.
Yeah, good for Alma.
Good for them.
First township, first city in Gratiot County. So that should send a message, because Gratiot's very conservative.
Sure.
So, and I'm happy to see.
Alma's kind of a conservative too, with the college and everything. Yeah.
So I'm good for Alma, Michigan. Yeah. How about Detroit?
Okay.
There was a lot of elections, a lot of ballot things going on last week.
That's right.
And there was a proposal to amend the Detroit zoning ordinance to be consistent with the Michigan Medical Marijuana Facilities Zoning Act. Okay. And it was up on the ballot November 7th. It was approved.
Oh, good.
And the what did the yes vote do? It was to establish city zoning rules for the marijuana medical facilities consistent with the state act. So that's great. So congratulations to Detroit to get their act together. My buddy Matt Abel.
Okay.
Very active in Detroit politics, and Matt's a great attorney for anyone out there looking for a lawyer. But it was a great proposal, and it was basically designed to allow growers and secure transporters to open within the city's M15 industrial districts and B15 business districts. So a zoning map index of Detroit is now made available by the city for those interested in opening up in the city of Detroit.
And on top of it, these kind of things start to set the ball in motion for other communities. If a city like Detroit will do this, now maybe an Ann Arbor will do this, or a Lansing will do this if they haven't already.
Oh, yeah. No, Lansing's all about it. And again, you know, they're going to establish land use standards and procedures. It has to do with zoning. I mean, all of this has to do with zoning ordinances, because a lot of these districts have to be rezoned.
Right.
Okay.
Because of everything that's happened with the laws and everything and everything that's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Right.
And we have an anniversary.
Oh, we do.
Big anniversary.
All right.
5 years ago, last week, November 6th,
okay,
Colorado and Washington legalized marijuana.
Oh, right on. There you go.
So we got a 5-year anniversary there.
There you go.
So.
And obviously, as you can.
Hundreds of millions in new taxes. And police are now focusing in on some of the hardcore crimes.
Exactly.
Leaving the cannabis men and women alone.
Exactly.
So what do you think about Townie's question that came up in the first segment?
We restate that question again, because I had a thought of it, but restate it again.
Motor vehicles, a number of companies are producing vehicles. You hear about Google that will be self-automated.
Self-driving vehicles.
Self-driving vehicles.
Yep. Autonomous.
Autonomous. You're an individual.
Okay.
Well, it could apply to alcohol or cannabis. Mm-hmm. You know, what are the legalities of operating one of these vehicles that is self-autonomous? Who's actually operating the vehicle, I think, is the question. So you by yourself, Craig Russell.
Okay.
You're in Houghton Lake.
Okay.
You're going to Traverse City.
All right.
Or Sheboygan.
All right.
Or the UP.
Wherever.
Upper Peninsula. The great state of Superior.
Somewhere in Michigan.
Indian River.
Okay.
Yeah. Roscommon. You hop in your self-automated vehicle.
Right.
This is the key. You are the only one in that vehicle.
Okay.
You're operating it.
Right.
You get in it, and you head off on 127 heading up I-75.
Okay.
And you're intoxicated from cannabis, whether you're a cardholder or not. Maybe your threshold is a little too high, so you're a little buzzed you're also drinking. What's the liability?
Well, here's my question, because I don't know enough about these self-driving cars, but how do they, this here's a sub question to that question. How do the self-driving cars work? Do you get in the car and say, I would like to go 68 miles an hour to this destination, go car, and then I sit back and twiddle my thumbs and the car takes over? If I'm not driving it, what's going to matter if I have anything in my system, or if I'm completely blitzed? The car is driving itself. I just set the coordinates and sit back.
You just answered your own question right there.
Okay. Well, that.
What did you just say?
I said
you said what?
What did I say?
You set the coordinates.
Right.
So are you not operating that motor vehicle?
I'm not after it starts and it takes off and drives. I'm just telling it where to go, but I'm not telling it, and I'm telling it how fast to go.
Okay, you just answered your question again. You are telling it where to go.
I'm not the one physically doing the driving of it.
But though. You are, because you are the one entering the coordinates on where it should go.
Okay.
So two things. One, you're operating. It's going to be considered a motor vehicle.
Right.
Under the motor vehicle code of the state of Michigan or any state in the country. Because
pretty
one,
much, yeah.
It's going to be operating on a public road,
okay,
or a parking lot accessible to the public roadway, okay, under certain statutes. So you're the one that's controlling it. It's still going to be a motor vehicle. It's still going to be operating. It's still going to have an electric or gas engine. So it's going to fit the definition of a motor vehicle. You could be charged on a tractor with drinking and driving in the state of Michigan and a moped or a spree. Craig, you're the one setting the coordinates. You're controlling it.
Okay, but
you got behind the wheel.
But here's the, and it's a good thing we still have about 5 minutes left in this segment because we could spend the rest of it talking about this. So this autonomous car, if I put it into auto mode and I sit back, I don't have my feet on the gas, I don't have my hand on the wheel, it's driving itself, correct? How would there ever be another accident, drunk driving? Why would you ever get pulled over? If I say, don't go any faster than 45, go to point A to point B, go, and I sit back and I don't touch the wheel, it's going to do exactly that.
You're assuming that this computer-operated invention
right there.
Well,
right,
hold
there.
On, hold
you
on.
You said who's operating,
right?
It. If the computer's operating it,
no. Then computers, as far as AI intelligence, does it exist? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But is it to the point where you see in Star Wars where it's thinking like humans? No.
No, but if
humans, hold on. Humans are programmers that program language that runs computers.
Sure.
And programs. And everything you see that's computerized, a human had to program that.
Sure.
You purchase the vehicle or you're in possession of this self-autonomous vehicle. And folks, we're talking about question from Townie from Traverse City, my fraternity brother, Sigab.
Right.
Great question. What's going to happen when there's self-automated vehicles that run themselves and you're in it and you're intoxicated or your cannabis level's too high and you're violating the laws that may exist at the time? What happens? I'm saying you're the one that programmed that vehicle where to go. You're in possession of it. You're in it. You're on a public roadway, open to the public. You're liable for it. The laws will have to catch up. So what's going to happen,
right,
is the men and women in Lansing and the federal government and state, other state levels are going to have to enact laws, more regulations,
sure,
under the motor vehicle code to address this.
But in theory, if
it's a great question,
if I get into the car and even if I am intoxicated and I'm not controlling the wheel and I say self-driving car, go 65 miles an hour on this road till we get home or whatever, you know, I'm sure there's going to probably be pre-programmed coordinates you could put into it.
Yeah, but
and then I'm going to lay back and not touch the wheel and let's hope. Well, then why would I ever get pulled,
correct,
over? If the car follows what I tell it to do and goes 65 the whole way and doesn't go over the speed limit, why would I ever get pulled over? What would be the rationale?
Well, there's your argument. It's a great argument because what's the probable cause for the stop in the first place?
Exactly.
Do you want to know what it is?
Well, what is it?
Well, as of a little segue here, but this is a great question. And as of November 8th, last week,
right,
literally a couple days ago,
right,
Kent County, Washtenaw, and are two counties among five counties that have now been selected for roadside drug testing.
Okay, yeah,
so,
that's right.
Which I am absolutely, unequivocally against. I think it's a constitutional violation on so many different levels. It's going to be challenged. And by the way, folks, if you happen to appear at one of these roadside testings and you refuse, it's my understanding that it's just a civil infraction.
Okay.
So now, if you're doing something you shouldn't, and you're forced to roadside test, and you agree to the test, and there's something in your system, and you're, I'm just saying,
to be
but
fair,
here, there are so many issues, constitutional issues.
I understand.
I'm just saying.
I understand, but to be fair, if you're not doing anything wrong, you've got nothing to hide. You've said that before.
But here's the thing.
Who should be drinking and driving, and who should be using cannabis?
Let me ask you a question.
Nobody.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Okay.
Ask me a question.
Here's my question.
All right.
You come upon a roadside test.
Okay.
You're a medical marijuana card holder.
Sure.
Okay. You have a right to possess cannabis. You have a right to use it.
Okay.
You don't have any on your person. There's none in the motor vehicle, but it's in your blood system.
Okay.
Which you have, it has a right to be there. And by the way, the law doesn't make it legal All the law does is give you immunity from prosecution.
Right.
Did you know that?
You told me. You've told me.
I'm just telling you that again.
You told me.
So you come upon this roadside stop in Kent County. The trooper says, and the troopers are just doing their job.
Sure.
I support. Sure. Oh, yeah. No. I love the troopers. I love deputy sheriffs. They're all my friends. The men and women from the city police departments, Mount Pleasant,
just doing
tribal,
their job. Just doing their
CMU police, even Grand Traverse did a great, just doing their job. So yep. I'm not blaming them because look, laws are enacted
by the people that
and
we
all
vote in.
Correct. All law enforcement and prosecutors are enforcing
the
laws. So don't blame the men and women enforcing the laws.
It's
the elected.
The elected officials.
You got it.
But on top of it, it's also like you don't complain to the person at the gas station when the price of gas goes up,
right.
Like it did this week. Oh, my God. But don't, because they didn't have anything to do with
I want to get back to this roadside stop.
Okay.
I don't check the prices of gas. You want to know why?
Why?
Because I need gas anyway.
I know.
What's the point?
Still.
What, I'm going to go shop around for 2 to 5 cents? Come on, really?
I got a
22, do you check the cost?
I got it 22 cents a gallon cheaper a couple of days ago.
I don't care.
That I would do.
I don't care.
Hey, we got to take a break.
But
when we come back, we got to talk more about this.
This roadside testing.
Yeah, we got to get more into this.
You're a cardholder. There's cannabis in you. You come upon a roadside test. What happens? We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, coming to you each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on Rock 105, 95.5 and 98.5 WPS, and podcasting all over the universe. And we're in a green field from the Black Diamond Mothership this morning, Craig
Russell. Which might have a little white because of the snow.
Yeah, love that snow to the north. It looks
green,
great.
Black and white. We got all the colors going on.
Yeah, we came back again with another one of our favorites.
Yeah, Stone Roses. I Want to Be Adored. Great song.
Yeah,
great song from the early 80s.
Craig, you are adored.
No.
No, you are adored. Hey, we've been talking about two very important issues.
Yes.
Roadside testing now taking place in 5 counties across the state of Michigan, which I completely disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
And
also autonomous cars and how you could get pulled over if, say, you had marijuana in your system and this autonomous car was driving itself. How would you get pulled over?
Let me put the two together.
Okay, do it.
You're in an autonomous car. And you're coming upon one of these roadside stops.
Sure.
And the car is operating itself.
Okay.
There has to be a point. First of all, as an attorney, you have to be able to define what is the definition of operating. So when the laws are passed and this actually comes to fruition, there will be a statute defining what it means to operate this motor vehicle and what is the definition of a motor vehicle. So this type of vehicle, the statute that is currently in place will be amended to include this type of vehicle.
Okay.
So it's not going to be a new law. It's just going to be amended.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because it's still going to primarily
be. One of the 257s is going to be amended. 623. One of the 257s.
It's primarily still a car. It still has a steering wheel. Still has a gas pedal. It's still going to be driving. It's just depending on whether it's a computer running it or you're running it.
Craig Russell's in the car.
Okay.
And you're a mile out from this roadside stop.
Mm-hmm.
And you're with your girlfriend.
Okay.
Okay.
Lucky me.
Yeah, the girlfriend at the time.
Okay.
Whoever that is. And she looks great, by the way.
Well,
and her perfume is outstanding.
I really wish you would introduce me to
her. Yeah, your future ex-girlfriend is out there somewhere.
That's awesome. Yes.
Did you ever say that?
Never.
Hey, I just want to say hi to my future ex-girlfriend.
I need a future girlfriend to be happy. I'm an ex-girlfriend.
Well,
anyway.
So you're with a friend and she has a girlfriend, and you say, will you introduce me to my future ex-girlfriend there, my future ex-wife?
So you're driving, a mile out, you're with
your girlfriend, and the car is operating itself because you programmed it. So I'm saying you're operating it. So there's the law right there. And you guys are kissing. You're doing things. Your shirt's coming off.
Wow.
Her shirt's coming off. This is a family show. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
So now you're doing things in public that you shouldn't, and you're violating some ordinance or state law because you're on a state highway, so it's a state law. Now somebody does a BOL, be on a lookout for a self-automated vehicle containing two individuals who are doing something they shouldn't. That's why you're going to get stopped right there. Forget the roadside stop. That's how you're going to get pulled over. Now, once you get stopped for doing something you shouldn't, and they find that there's alcohol in your system or other types of illegal drugs, there's the question for the listening audience. What goes on from that point? Are you operating a vehicle to the extent where you can be charged with drinking and driving or operating with the presence of drugs, even though you were brought to the attention of law enforcement for a separate issue?
In all reality, I'm kicking myself in the butt for not getting the back windows tinted. That's what I'm doing. Obviously, like you said, these kind of laws are going to have to be amended. I mean, I would think.
Introduced in the House, yeah, committees, into the Senate, signed
act. How far away are we really from self-driving cars, though?
I think we're quite a ways away.
How in the world? Because they've had those self-driving cars, but there's those cars that have those gates on the road, almost kind of makes them like bumper cars at the fair. What are they going to do that to every road? It's going to have these gates on it to keep the car. I mean, boy.
You know what I think is even cooler than self-automated vehicles?
What's that?
You see online the drone, the human drone?
Huh.
It's a bigger version of a smaller drone with all these propellers.
Okay.
And two individuals, I saw it on Facebook, two individuals got into it.
Oh, they can ride it or they can fly it?
Folks, imagine a drone
okay. The
size of a golf cart.
Oh, okay.
With those big spinning,
sure.
Whatever spin.
Like a mini helicopter
right. Kind
of thing.
The Jetsons.
It's kind of Jetsons.
No, I'm saying. Yep,
kind of.
Why wouldn't an individual human be able to get into a drone that's the size of a golf cart? It has to be lightweight, made out of titanium or carbon or something they use in aerospace.
Sure.
I'm not an aerospace engineer. It'll have to be really light.
I would think.
Those motors will push you straight up.
Yeah, but boy, you think about it, you get into a, you get 100 feet in the air and a big gust of wind comes and it blows you off course. And if you're not if you don't know what you're doing piloting those things.
I used to have a Hobie Cat. I had a rudder. I know what I'm doing. I'm okay. I'm going to get a drone license. I'm going to pass. But let's talk about the roadside.
Do they even have drone licenses?
No, but I just came up with that idea.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you for or against these roadside stops in five counties in Michigan now, as of November 8th?
Obviously, somebody somewhere thought it was a good enough idea. I mean, are they just not catching enough people doing illegal things that they have to set up, those kind of deals? I mean, they've done this for years. There's been plenty of roadside stops for, around holidays and things like that. I mean,
Do you feel that's too much state intrusion into your person?
Kind of. I will say
absolutely.
This
absolutely.
If you're a smart person, A, you shouldn't be drinking and driving or doing anything illegal to begin with.
It's not illegal to drink and drive. You just, if you're over 21, you can't have alcohol in your system to the extent where you're going to reach a blood alcohol content of 0.08 or higher.
Okay, which is how many drinks?
It depends on the individual, okay. Their metabolism, what they ate that day. But here's what I would say. I would say, just to be safe, like you said, we don't ever recommend anybody drink and drive.
And on top of it, most times when they have these roadside stops, they're well publicized where they are. So don't drive.
Well, we're publicizing
by them.
It right now. It's in five counties.
Right, but I'm saying a lot of times in the paper, they'll say, here's where they're going to be at. This is the road they're going to be at in the Times. Or you probably can find it out online. There's probably some kind of a website. How about just don't drive by there?
But it's
you can
my,
avoid it.
It's my, well, I mean, you can. It's impossible for a lot of people. But my understanding is if you refuse, it's a civil infraction as opposed to an operating under the influence of drugs. So what would you rather have? A couple points on your record if there's points involved, which I'm thinking there are, mm-hmm. if you refuse. I'll have to look it up for next show. Or a DUI or an OWPD operating with the presence of drugs in your system.
What's worse?
But here's the thing.
What's worse?
OWPD and an OWI are very similar. They're both under the motor vehicle code. They're drinking and drugging and operating a motor vehicle on a highway in the state of Michigan.
Okay.
Or any state in the country if your state has these laws, which
right.
they do.
Most do.
I just think probable cause to me, when you go to law school 101 is if you're going to be approached by an officer or stopped in a motor vehicle, where's the probable cause? What's the reason? We don't want to live in a police state where you're just walking down the road, minding your own business, and you have to fear that you're going to be approached by the government and We just don't want that fear. We live in the United States.
Well, how did this come about? Who thought that this was going to be a good idea to do this? And why are they? And of course, they're only doing it in 5 counties of the 83. And it happens probably.
You want to know my opinion?
Probably the 5 most populous counties.
Okay, I'm going to tell you my opinion.
Okay.
First of all, let me just qualify this with, and I'm sorry if I bore the audience. I support law enforcement. I do not blame the troopers. Nope. I support troopers. Nope. Wholeheartedly.
Doing their job. So they're protecting and
period.
Now.
But hold on. Here's who I blame. Somebody somewhere has a special interest and there's money involved.
Yep.
It's all about money.
Oh, sure.
I've been in the legal system for years. Money. The driver responsibility fee, trying to raise funds and revenue for the state back in 2003, is still destroying men and women's lives. It's all about money. Now you got officers on the roadside, you know, stopping cars. These people are just on their way. They're not doing anything. Look, it's one thing if somebody is about to approach one of these stops and a half a mile out, they're swerving, they're speeding, they're driving carelessly, they're driving recklessly.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, be on a lookout. Maybe they sideswipe somebody. Then I think it's legitimate, as in any other case under those facts, to pull the person over.
Sure.
But just to pull someone over who's on their way to work, on a vacation, trying to get home from up north, it's such an impediment. And it's such an intrusion, I'm against it.
Well, I'll tell you this much. I'm going to bring this up. And I know this is probably the selling point that somebody came up with. What happens if, let's say there's a gentleman who's got 65 rifles and automatic weapons in his car, and he goes through one of these stop points and gets pulled over. And he was on his way to go shoot up a school, and they pull him over and they stop him and they prevent him from doing that. Someone's going to say, that's a great reason to do this. And if you're, as you say more times than not, if you're not doing anything wrong, you've got nothing to worry about. If I'm not drinking and driving, I'm not going to have any drugs in my system. If I get pulled over, they're going to see I'm doing nothing wrong. I got nothing to hide. Nothing will happen to me. Yes, it might be a bit of an inconvenience. But if they're going to stop somebody who maybe isn't necessarily going to get pulled over, just a normal cop pulling somebody over, but they go through this checkpoint, and next thing you know, you find out this person's got, you know, loads of pills or booze in their system or whatever, and they're going to cause an accident down the road. If you can prevent that, maybe that's where they're going from. I'm not saying it's
Did
right
you
or
say
wrong.
May cause an accident?
Will cause an accident, more than
May
likely.
Cause an accident.
May. I understand that.
Look, nobody, even if you have a legal script for something, and by taking that script, it impairs your physical capabilities, whether you're operating equipment or going to work. You should not be operating a motor vehicle.
Agreed.
And whether you have a legal right to do it or not. Now, there are legal thresholds. For instance, if you take Xanax or Vicodin or any other types of narcotics, I mean, should you not get behind the wheel? You should not. If it's going to impair, even if you have a legal right to possess it, it's going to impair your ability.
Right.
And people need, here's the thing. People need to police one another.
Agreed.
So if you have a friend,
we
have to stop one another from doing these things.
And you need to be able to have enough self-awareness to stop yourself.
I stopped a friend of mine at CMU's homecoming about a month ago. He was so intoxicated, he couldn't even find his car, and it was right in front of him. I called a taxi. I was waiting for an Uber and a taxi.
Good.
I physically restrained this guy from getting in his vehicle. Because I'm not going to let, if you love someone, don't let them drink and drive.
Exactly.
It's not always that easy, though.
No, it's not. But I'll take this to another level. He could have gotten in trouble, could have gotten pulled over, got thrown in jail.
Killed somebody.
Could have hired you. You are potentially throwing away, making him money, your livelihood, but yet you did it anyway to stop him from hurting somebody or killing somebody, and that says a lot about you. That's a good thing. No, I take that as a good thing.
I'm just looking at you.
I know.
I had Echo and a Bunnyman. When you were talking to me, can I tell you something?
No.
I got to admit that you were talking. I didn't hear your voice.
You just heard Lips Like Sugar.
I heard the song we're playing today from Echo and a Bunnyman.
I gotcha.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I'm just saying.
So what is this? What are you saying? I'm like the teachers on Charlie Brown. Hearing my mouth moving, but you're not listening.
I don't know. What's with the beard, by the way?
That's good. It's Movember. I'm not shaving to publicize Movember, which is for men to get...
peach fuzz on this face of mine.
Yeah, I know.
Look how long my hair is, though.
For prostate cancer. It's to support men and to bring a report about that.
I have a good friend, a very close friend, who is fighting prostate cancer right now. Look, get on the subject, but everybody should get their prostate examined.
Yep.
If you're 50 years of age, not only should you get your prostate examined, but you should also go for a colonoscopy.
Agreed.
Now, listen, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to know. I'm going to wait. If you have children and you have people that, wait, here's the thing. Here's what I say to people that say this to me. Because I go for physicals every year. I've already had my colonoscopy. I get my prostate tested all the time.
Good.
If people love you and you love others, why wouldn't you do it for them?
Exactly.
Why wouldn't you do it for your kids?
Exactly.
If you're in your 50s like we are, Craig, at least I am. My kids need their father.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So if you're a father out there, you're a mother, you go for the testing of the breast cancer. My grandmother passed away from breast cancer. There's exams right now, but I hear a lot of men and women that say, I don't go to the doctor because I don't want to know.
Yeah.
And then it's too late.
Ignorance is bliss.
Then it's too late. So I'm saying get out there and get tested.
And there's somebody who we know here at Black Diamond, not going to say anything, but who is going through this process as well. And he has been yelled at by a lot of people here that he should take care of himself a lot better. So,
and here's the thing.
So that is part of it. That's also part of it too. I'm growing it out just not only to support him, but also to make sure that men get tested because, you know, a lot of times men kind of forget about their health and forget about that stuff, and they shouldn't.
No, you really shouldn't. What does it cost to go into a urgent care or a family doctor? I mean, insurance is very high these days, but you know what? You can't put a price on health.
No, you can't.
So get in there, get your prostate examined, get your colonoscopy. Yep. And I got to tell you, I know this is breakfast time, but that colonoscopy, I've done it twice now. That is one of the most uncomfortable experiences.
You have to start.
You have to start drinking liquid. You know, a day before, sometimes 2 days. But hey, I want a big shout out before we go to break to Bob Humphreys.
Ooh, okay.
You know Bob?
I do know Bob.
Great family, the Humphreys family up in Clare. Bob's a big fan of the show. He's a big fan of the Todd Levitt Law Show, Craig Russell in the Morning Hustle. When we come back from break, we're going to come back with the last segment, So Strong from the Mothership. We have an update on some of the laws that are trying to be passed in Congress at the federal level to protect banking in the cannabis industry.
Awesome.
Huge update.
All right.
You want to take us out?
We'll go to break.
Are we coming back?
Strong.
Please.
Interrupting all programs. Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite, orbiting your living room, cashing in the Bill of Rights. Human army surplus or refusing of the lights. This is Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite. Is an urban Vietnam, giving deadly exhibitions of murder by napalm.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Craig, great discussion during break. Unfortunately, we weren't on the air.
I know. And it's a good thing because we weren't talking about sluggish.
No. I mean, it wasn't anything illegal or anything. We were just kind of throwing some F-bombs around.
Yeah, it's never good.
We're just doing guy talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, by the way, I'm attorney Todd L. Levitt. I'm out of mid-Michigan.
That's right.
And I do practice criminal defense.
Yep. Your phone number?
Oh, well, 98. I don't want to be a...
I understand that.
989-772-6000.
People need to know.
989-772-6000. You can talk to Jackie Starr.
Oh, yeah. She's a rock star.
No.
Jackie Rockstar
and Jennifer Woodruff, a.k.a. Jennifer Arndt, Eugene's daughter from Prescott. Jackie and Jennifer do a great job. Jennifer provided us with some research today.
Okay.
And Jackie and Jennifer gave us some research.
Awesome.
Here's the question.
Okay.
In Michigan, there was a bill that was introduced. It was trying to be introduced back in the spring, in May, that would increase restrictions on cell phone use. So there was a legislator trying to introduce a bill whereby you cannot use a cell phone in the state of Michigan in a motor vehicle. So if you're driving down the road and you're an officer who's stationary sees a phone to your ear,
you can get pulled over.
You get pulled over.
Right. You know how many states have that law? There's got to be at least 15 or 16 states that already have it. You have to use a hands-free device. You can't use a phone. You have to have
it plugged
into a microphone or something so you're not distracted.
So they did consider the bill.
Okay.
Okay, it was considered.
All right.
And the good news is it didn't go anywhere.
Okay.
So the bill was sponsored from a state rep out of Troy. And he was trying to strike a balance between safety and personal freedom.
Sure.
So what he was trying to do was introduce a bill whereby you cannot use a cell phone manually with your hand, but you could use a Bluetooth or other handless devices,
Exactly.
I understand. Texting and driving is so dangerous.
Yes.
But look at the burden it would put on law enforcement. How many people would violate this law? Because look how many people speed every day. People break laws every day, all day. Law enforcement would be bogged down using discretion whether or not they should enforce it when they really need to be out there doing more serious things like pulling people over who are driving erratic or, you know, other crimes.
Now, what do you think about being pulled over for not wearing a seatbelt? Similar kind of deal?
It's just, you know, again, I think it's discretionary. If you're an officer and you're sitting there and there's a car driving 75 and a 75 with no seatbelt, I mean, would you be looking for that individual or would you be looking for somebody who's hauling tail 95 and a 75?
Probably the latter.
But here, if you're an officer, and I'm a defense attorney, so I kind of think like officers because I have to.
Okay.
Because I need to know how to defend these cases. If you're an officer, you're looking for a vehicle with an air freshener. So let's say there was somebody without a seatbelt on and they had an air freshener. Or they had a plate light out, then you're going to pull that person over because the air freshener has been a giveaway for people who are smoking cannabis in their vehicles. So, folks, listen. I just want to say, why put yourself out? Look, I tell you, the majority of my clients in 23 years who get pulled over and that are doing something they shouldn't, once it's proved, if it can be proven, have a crack tail light, have something dangling from their mirror. Okay. But you never see the 80-year-old lady with gray hair who has like something dangling from her mirror getting pulled over for obstructing a view.
Well, it's always
the young guy who's driving an older vehicle who maybe a little rust on the side or a minivan. So air fresheners, dead giveaway.
Yep. It's not good.
Right. No, so I just want to, so that bill didn't go anywhere. It got stalled in committee. The bill's not going anywhere.
That bill didn't. Another bill they were trying to, you know, we pay more in car insurance in the state in Michigan. I don't know where you are, but if you're in Michigan, you know, you can hear this podcast all over the world. But in Michigan, we pay more here for auto insurance than any other state in the country because of the unlimited uninsured motorist bill part. So in other words, if you get into an accident, your medical bills are covered for life. No other state has this option, and that's why we pay so much. They were trying to eliminate that or make that an option and have people be able to opt lower. That didn't pass either because there's a lot of insurance lobbies out there, and there's a lot of insurance companies making a lot of money. What do you always say? It has to do with money. It always has to do with money.
It's all about money.
Money makes the world go round.
Another update from Lara.
Okay.
Regarding license capitalization requirements. Remember a couple of weeks ago we said that Lara was putting out some language that for a Class C 1500 plant license, you're going to have to show that you have capitalization of $500,000 in the bank.
Yep.
They backed off that.
Really?
So November 8th of 2017, Lara released an advisory bulletin regarding that issue to inform potential licensees that the intention regarding the capitalization requirement is going to stay the same, and that was for advisory purposes only. So, I mean, just go to the act right now and wait for more regulations to come out.
So in other words, they put that $500,000 limit out there to see what would happen, and everyone got mad about it, so they decided
They wanted you to have just $500,000 by itself.
Right.
But now they're backtracking on that, and my understanding is that they're going to take into consideration all the startup equipment, all the inventory, as well as 401k accounts, CDs, and other common investments to count towards a potential licensee's capitalization requirements, as opposed to as before, where they said, no, that stuff doesn't count. You got to have $500,000, period.
Just in the bank, liquid
money. So that's a great update right there.
That is.
How'd you like that update?
We're just updating things all over the place.
Well, I belong to the State Bar. I'm a member of the State Bar of Michigan marijuana law section.
Right.
So I get these updates all the time.
So that's awesome.
Exactly.
Good update.
So here's what's crazy. I think that it would require less capitalization to probably open up a casino than it would to have a Class C grower license. That's nuts.
Open up, but to continue to fund it over a period of time, probably.
No, I'm saying up front.
I'm saying a casino would probably need it up front. But
the question was, I know we have to get going here, but there are still a number of federal Senate bills that are have been introduced that are still floating around out there, and these bills combined would protect people in this industry in regards to taxation. And we don't have enough time to get to it, right. But you can look it up online. There's a number of groups. There's a Reasonable Addressing the Marijuana Policy Gap Act of H.R. 1824. So look up H.R. 1824, folks. I'm just going to give you the numbers here.
Right.
H.R. 1824, H.R. 2215. And
House resolutions?
Yeah, Senate 7. So H.R. 1824 is Senate 780. H.R. 2215, which is a SAFE Act, Secure and Fair Enforcement in Banking. And basically the impact of these bills would be widespread for both, you know, cannabis, all other types of related industries. But the big thing is going back to the taxes, the Small Business Tax Equity Act of 2017. This is a big one, Craig. It's a huge one. And these bills would carve out an exception to the 280E. So folks, everybody out there interested in going into the business, look up 280E. Look up all the different House bills and Senate bills that are currently being introduced and addressed. There's also another one, the Policy Gap Act we talked about, the Banking Act, and the Small Business Tax Equity Act. That's the big one, the Small Business Tax Equity Act, because dispensaries are going to pay a lot higher taxes than a normal business like you and I would do.
Right.
So I'm sorry we didn't get to more of those updates, but just look it up online.
That's right.
What a huge show.
Show's done.
Rocking and socking, turning and burning it here in the mothership.
I'm exhausted.
Are you kidding me?
This show was huge.
Dude, you know how many carbs I burned?
I hope I burned as many as you have.
Yeah, big shout out to all the listeners, all my fellow men and women bikers out there.
That's right.
And to everyone, just love one another. Hug someone with consent.
Good weekend. Have a good weekend. Stay warm.
Make sure you tip the staff on the way out, Craig.
That's
Russell.
Right. There you go.
What are we ending the show with?
Radio Clash.
Well,
the Clash.
Without further ado,
there you go.
Not just a litigator. Take us out, Craig Russell, with the Clash. I'm an advocate.
Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malley Well Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder of Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs, Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, offering free estimates and easy financing, and New Millennium Pawn Shop in Mount Pleasant, paying top dollar for gold and silver.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.